AudioTU.com, the home of quality podcasts.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 202 of Shutters Inc. A couple of weeks ago, I noticed that Chris Bellier, who has attended a couple of the, or a few, quite a few actually, of the Sydney Monthly shoots that I've organised, had his name associated with a page on Facebook called Pose Project Management. And it caused me to go off and explore and to find out what exactly Pose Project Management was. And when I went and had a look at it, it got me very interested. And rather than just me spill the beans, I thought, well, let's get Talia Baird, who organized the page, on for a bit of a chat. So a little later in this episode, we are going to have a chat with Talia about Pose Project Management and exactly what it is and what she's hoping to do with it. But also, a couple of days ago, I should get an invitation out of the blue from someone for a bit of a chat, someone we haven't heard from for a little bit of a while. So, Lorna Andrikopoulos, welcome back to Shutters Inc. How have you been?
I have been awfully well in the extremely long time it's been since you and I have caught up.
It has been too long.
It really has, hasn't it?
The months have just flown by. Of course, in recent days, there's been the massive head expanding event that is the digital show formerly known as PMA. How was it?
I actually really enjoyed. I was there for a couple of days. The first day, Lee and I did our first ever double act, which was something we've been talking about doing for a very long time.
Right.
We were asked to do a presentation to some schools photographers, and as we were both asked, we went, right, this is the time. We'll get both of us up on the stage and gee it loudy, as they say in Scotland, which we did, and it was really enjoyable, A, to take the material that we've focused mainly on wedding portrait market and convert it to the schools market, which really was a lot of fun for us to do. You know, when you're doing the same thing for quite a few years and then you have to just twist it a little bit. So we had an interesting couple of days as we wrangled the material into a new shape and really enjoyed that process. And then just the process of both of us being on stage together. So we had a really good time from that point of view. And as always, you meet all the old faces and new faces. I was actually accosted a couple of times by Shutters Inc. listeners. Hello out there in Shutters Inc. land. People who were kindly took the time to introduce themselves because they recognised the name. So and I really enjoyed that. That was great.
Good stuff. I can't imagine what. Sorry, what was that?
We missed you. You weren't there this year.
I know. It's about the first PMA in about 5 years that I haven't been to. So, but anyway, next year, definitely. But yeah, I kind of miss not being there. I would have loved to have been there and would have loved to have had my little flash recorder and done interviews like I've done in past years. But you know how it is. Life gets in the way. So
it wasn't to be this year.
No, that's it. So it was a good time had by all?
I think so. There's always the Facebook is now full of congratulations to all the APA award winners. So yeah. We share their celebrations in that. But what I always find really interesting is just getting feedback from the industry at large and just trying to get an indication of what on earth might be happening in the coming years. And really, so much changes in this industry. And interestingly, even the name of the show, it used to be called Photo Imaging World, it was called Photo Imaging Expo, and it's had about three or four different names. Just the exhibition itself has changed dramatically in 10 years. And it's always interesting to get the retailers together, the consumers together. I think photographers are part of the industry, but it's a much broader industry. So just getting a sense of where it's all going, and that I find the most exciting bit for me.
Was there anything in particular in regards, you know, marketing approaches or just, you know, the industry side of it in general that was particularly different this year? Anything of note?
Actually, not so much at the show itself. I've actually just been, today I've been doing some research for the newsletter. We always put out a newsletter just in summary of the show, and I've ended up being very distracted today. Anybody who sort of wants to find out what's happening in the professional photography industry, the IBIS Group have just released a new report, and it's an interesting read. There's two things happening. One is there's a decline in the consumer spend, and there's a massive increase in consumer interest in photography. So on the one side, the studios are actually finding it harder to the traditional portrait studio model, I would say, is finding it harder to get people to actually come through the door. They're having to spend more and more of their time on the marketing, and the average spend is probably dropping. I think the glory days of portraiture may be a little bit behind us for the time being. But on the other side, of course, there is this massive upsurge in consumer interest in photography. And nobody really knows what that's going to do to the industry.
Sounds like the summary of it is that everyone wants to be in it, but nobody wants to spend any money on it.
You hit the nail on the head, Bruce. That's exactly it. There are people making money in the industry still, but consumers are ever more educated, and they, in a way that they didn't before, are much more interested in comparing. They're very savvy. Online shopping it across every industry is becoming such a huge issue, and I think retailers are really going to have to look at how they compete with the online world. If you're a shoe shop, you know that your consumers can actually sit at home and they can browse the shoes, they can check the sizes, the colors, they can get free delivery, they can, you know, it's getting harder and harder to actually get customers to your door if you are a retail outlet, because there is so much opportunity online.
Yeah.
So it's quite fascinating. Again, we had the marketing vehicles, how you actually market your business. That's changed phenomenally over the last few years with the advent of Tinternet and online promotions and all the different approaches that are happening there. So it's a time to be. One of the sort of areas that I'm looking at for this newsletter is just how you stay on top of your business. Now, originally, we would have a business plan that lasted maybe 3 years. We'd sit and we'd go, oh, we'll do this, and we've got a view to doing that. And at the moment, we really can't go past about 6 months.
Yeah.
Because there's this rapid change in the product range, and I've you know, recently changed my product range. Having the course that I've had is now a Skype product, and there's a number of reasons why I had to sort of have a look at the product and go, well, what is it that people really want, and redevelop my product in order to meet the needs of the consumer. And the consumer is more and more driving business, whereas it kind of used to be the other way around. The you know, consumer did what the businesses told them to do, but it's all changing, Bruce, and it's an interesting time, you know, over and above the photography industry itself. But of course, it does have a real impact on anybody considering entering the professional photography industry.
Yeah, I don't think any of it is unique to photography. I mean, you see it across all industries, really, just the way the whole social media and the interconnectedness of everything now plays such a massive role in the way clients and businesses interact with each other. Like, it's in both directions.
Well, I actually went to the home show about 3 weeks in the same building, about 3 weeks before I went to the digital show. And I found that the most boring home show I've ever been to. It was awful.
In what way?
From the point of, I come from, I've worked in exhibitions, and I found there was very little zazzle dazzle at the home show. The home show, you expect lots of noise and music and people trying, doing fun things to grab your attention. And I found that the retailers who were there were either desperate, and you could see it in their eyes, which is very off-putting as a potential customer, or they were disinterested, and it didn't really, it was actually quite hard to find innovative products that you hadn't sort of already seen on the internet. So it was, you know, I had that in mind when I went to the digital show this year. And it was, I found it a little bit quiet. I think because it's a very expensive proposition to actually physically put a stand up for 3 days and have staff there, and times are tough. So there wasn't perhaps that same little things like the giveaways. The giveaways used to be such a big part of going to the show, and there was very little happening on that front. It just had a different feel. I took my daughter there on the Sunday, and it's always interesting to see what she's attracted by as well. A couple of years ago, she had heaps of fun on the Olympus stand, just smashing and dropping this their so-called unbreakable camera. So that was a highlight for her. So we're not talking a great deal of, you know, insight and perception here. But she took a little while to warm up to it and to find things that were engaging her. But I think, again, as I say, having been at the home show and seeing it being slightly flat on that front, it's not really surprising that, you know, there was a little bit of flatness in the photo show. It's just, it's a little bit tough in the world at the moment, and Australia isn't doing it as bad as the majority of the world. So I think We need to thank our lucky stars and thankful for what we do have.
Yeah, I think the old business adage of build it and they will come is almost going out the door now. It seems like any business, not just photographic, the level of interaction and engagement with the customers has to be so much more than simply just hanging out the shingle.
I agree, and I think it's more consumer driven. If people like something, you are on a winner, because it will be shared, it will be liked, it will be
plus one.
If you get it right, the word will spread like wildfire. And you'll do very well. If you don't get it right, no amount of marketing dollars is going to fix that.
Really. No, if you get it wrong, the word will spread like wildfire in much the same way.
Also true. Bad news travels.
Well, you know, I can relate to that from first-hand experience, because when we moved into this house, we got the internet connected, and I won't give them any grief over it now, because it's since been resolved, but basically, you know, the provider that we went with, the service was absolutely horrid when we first had it connected, and I got back in touch with them and I said, look, I'm not happy with the quality of the connection, and it's, you know, it's crap and it's blah, and I got no love out of them whatsoever. And then I happened to tweet something with, you know, hash name of carrier and the word fail, and seriously, within a couple of hours, someone had tweeted back to me and said, you know, look, something's obviously not working for you, what can we do to fix it? So, you know, just goes to show that the power of, you know, a negative message in social marketing just as much as a positive message via social media. Yeah,
I've heard similar stories where the traditional methods of complaining at front desk yielded no desire, but tweet it and you're in. The power of Twitter. That I find absolutely fascinating, and we need to be really looking at what it is our customers want more than ever. And if you're not giving it to them, trust me, they'll go and find it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it is interesting times ahead, and I think you need to be sort of looking long and hard at every aspect of your business. And, you know, things that you would traditionally review every couple of years really need to be reviewed every couple of months at the moment.
Yeah. And so, I don't think that's ever going to change. I just think that's, you know, I don't think it's ever going to go back to the way it was. I think this is just the new norm.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's super speedy. And I don't know. I think to a certain extent, the technology has to peak eventually. The like everything, I think we're on a rising wave of everything speeding up, and I would like to think that things will slow down, but who knows? I think that's the interesting thing, you know. People are all out to find out what's going to happen next, and nobody knows.
No.
Things that even Facebook's only been around a couple of years, and that's just transformed the way that people connect with each other.
Totally.
Just because I've, you know, in a situation of having a look back at the last 10, 11 years that we've been in the business, and it was interesting the people who approached us this year, and even the way that we went about the show this year, we've always gone to the show and either we've had a stand or there's been certain objectives that we've had and we wanted to do. And this was the first year we kind of went, well, oh, the show's coming up, we better go. And we actually were approached by people who were looking for something from us that we couldn't have predicted, the outcomes that we had from the show this year. So it's I just love it. I'm a big embrace. You know me. I love change. I'm not one for things not changing. I'm an embracer of change. So it suits me very much to find new directions. And Lee's like also somebody who likes to keep things moving along. He's not exactly a standing still kind of guy.
No.
So between the two of us, you know, we're really interested to see where we're going to be in 6 months' time.
So
where will you be in 6 months' time, Bruce Williams?
Look, as I've said to you privately, I have scaled back my ambitions with regards to the career change. Not because I've got cold feet. There was, I guess, I had the change of headspace probably 18 months ago, and decided that by June of this year I wanted to instigate a career change into photography. And what I found as the weeks and the months went by, I was feeling really agitated about life in general, and I couldn't understand why for quite some time. And eventually one day I just went, hang on, stop, take a breath, step back, look at the big picture. What is it that's bugging me right now? And the answer that came back to me was, I still love what I currently do, which is audio. And I love it too much, and I'm not ready to turn my back on it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, if that is where my heart is at, then I need to be true to that. There is no sense trying to, you know, force a shoe that doesn't fit. And so based on that and the financial side of things too, was the, you know, recognizing that I was probably, you know, not going to be able to, you know, jump straight out of one career and into the other and match the level of income that I've got after, you know, a quarter of a century of doing audio. You know, and when you've got a couple of mortgages, that kind of stuff weighs on you pretty heavily and has to be taken into consideration. So all of these things combined sort of brought me round to thinking, well, you know, I still, you know, I love photography and I still want it to form a part of my income, but I just don't think it's going to be my sole source of income from this year. You know, it's something that I'm just going to have to work towards a little slower. I still stand by the adage of, you know, you do need to set a goal and have something to work towards, but I think what I had laid out for myself was just too ambitious, and I just, you know, I need to be realistic, and so that's where I'm at.
Well, to be honest, Bruce, I think you were also coming to the realization that your love of photography, in order to support a business, you're not actually going to be spending a whole heap of time on the photography side of things.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing business development, marketing, outreach, social it's not running a business in photography is less about the photography. If you really love photography, and you know I've said this in the course as well, get somebody to pay you to do it. Because if you're running your own photography business, your focus is on income generation and business development, and that actually doesn't involve a whole heap of time behind the camera.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to sound full of doom and gloom, because there are plenty of people, trust me, there are people making money in this industry today, right now, as we speak. But those are the people who have a very clear plan and a very good understanding of what it takes to be profitable in today's market. So
I don't see your message as being doom and gloom. I think it was very very realistic, and it was probably what I needed to hear and to understand.
I actually consider it a win, because I've been running the business introduction course, and I actually do consider it a win if somebody comes back to me and says, you know, I've taken on board what you've said and I'm not giving up the day job, because I've realized that what I really love to do is to take pictures, and I'm not really interested in all the other stuff. So I actually think that's better than spending 3 years discovering that the hard way, which is actually why we put that course together, because we kept coming across people who 3 years in, and it just did seem to be, you know, first year they weren't expecting to make money, that was fine. The second year they made a little, but they were in a bit of a cycle and they weren't actually branching out. By the third year they were pretty much stretched, the partner who was supporting them was also stretched, and they came to us to go, how do we fix it? And that was actually why we put the course together, because we didn't want people to have to go through that 3 year discovery that they, you know, that there's a lot more to running a photography business than taking amazing photographs. It's wonderful when we come across people who are A, great photographers, and B, great business people.
Yeah.
So it's a less common combination than we'd like.
Yeah. I've actually heard, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned 3 years, because as a time span, that's actually pretty much the benchmark for other industries as well. I know that the I think the ATO, the Australian Tax Office, says, you know, that out of, you know, all new businesses that start up, not just in photography, something like 75% will fail within 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, 3 years seems to be like that witching hour, that you either make it past it or you don't. It seems to be the hurdle. You know, most businesses can keep themselves going for that long, but if they haven't really got what it takes to make it long term, they'll be out of the race before that 3 years is up.
Oh, it's nice that the tax office agrees with me for once. I don't think that's happened before.
So, anything else exciting going on in your world?
Yeah, we've got a puppy, I think, since we spoke to you. He's eating his way through house and home. But no, actually, also in my discovery little research phase of the afternoon, I came across an article from about a year ago from the Scientific American. Now, that was my dad had a subscription to the Scientific American for years and years, and I absolutely loved it. Didn't understand any of the articles, but they always had beautiful photography, and every now and again there would be something wildly amazing. So I came across this little article, a blog article, about a thing called a LYTR, L-Y-T-R.
Oh, yes.
No, you've seen this?
Oh, I've seen it, yeah. I'm across it.
Oh, my God. And I followed it through, and it's actually, within a year, it's now available as a retail product.
Yeah, for like $300 or something.
$300. This blew my mind.
Yeah.
The fact that I sort of went, oh, it's but for those of you who haven't discovered it, it's rather than a traditional digital camera sensor, it was developed by some student. It's his thesis. It's a fly's eye technology gizmo, which basically allows you to scale the focus to any point in the image. It just is amazing. So Google it, have a check out.
The Lytro camera, LYTRO, and they call it a light field, don't they? They don't talk about depth of field. They talk about the light field.
And I found this afternoon, and I, you know, sort of got onto the Lytro website, had a play, and then of course all the people who've now gone out and got one. There's galleries now that you can go and check out. So I had heaps of fun this afternoon playing with that, posted it on my Facebook page, not a single comment. I was blown away. So I go, oh, my dog farted today, and I get 76 comments. And do you know, I just went, really? No? Hello? It's just something that, you know, you accidentally find when you're supposed to be doing your research for your newsletter, and you go, oh, wow, this is really cool, and I've never heard of this before. And
yeah.
So that was my other little bit of excitement today. But
no, it's a very interesting technology, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of an impact that technology has on the industry as a whole, whether or not it becomes an embraced technology or whether it sort of disappears as a fad. But it seems,
whether it's a beta product,
well, it seems like an amazing concept. You know, the thing that they sell as like the major benefit to it is that if you don't nail your focus at the time of capture, it's not that important because you can refocus the image after the event.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an amazing concept. What I haven't in the little bit of investigation I've done into the Lytro camera, what I haven't seen them talk about is how you alter the depth of the focus field.
So everything's in focus.
Yeah, I haven't seen them talk about how you do, you know, massive depth of field like F-16, F-22 type stuff. I've only seen everything shot at F-2.8, and you can have focus up close or focus far away. But what if I want everything in focus?
Well, I reckon it's just, I think, as I say, it was an article about a thesis a year ago. It's already out as a basic. If it's got legs, you won't believe if the consumers want it, if they want to be able to print 40 by 60 inch canvases from a Lytro, mate, they'll work out a way to do it. That's exactly what we were just talking about. The consumer desire will drive the development of that product, as opposed to the product developing itself in a darkened room somewhere and it, you know, coming out and expecting people to buy it. So And that's actually why I thought it was so interesting, because I do have a lot of photographers on my Facebook, and I thought, really? No one? Hello? Maybe it was just the time of day. Maybe they're exhausted and off for their afternoon naps or something. But that's the kind of thing that I think is you just don't know what that's going to do to the digital photography market. It could be in 2 years' time, digital cameras, instead of having traditional sensors, use these groovy-doovy, you know, Lytro thing. Who knows? Who knows, Bruce? It's exciting times.
Definitely, definitely. And is the course via Skype, is it taking off?
It is. I'm finding it really interesting because I can focus absolutely on the individual. So there were a couple of people who joined the course right at the end in Sydney, who perhaps weren't traditional. They weren't doing traditional wedding portraits. So they're now working directly with me, and I get to work much more interactively with each person, which I find much more rewarding. I also find photographers are really often quite reluctant to share in a group. It's not a big share industry. And again, I come from a background of hands-on science, which, you know, there were 15 hands-on science centres in the UK, and we'd all get together and share exhibits and ideas, and where did you get that gizmo for your shop? And it was very open industry. I then moved into the computer games industry, and again, it was all about sharing knowledge and branching out and lots of joint forums. So I find in some ways photographers can be a little bit more closed in terms of not wanting to talk about their ideas or their pricing in case everyone's very conscious that people are going to steal what they're doing. And a lot of them really prefer working in that one-to-one environment, because then they can just tell me everything, even just like names for the business. People go on, you know, they won't share it in the group, but then they'll email me later and go, oh, I'm thinking of calling it this. So that really, I think, makes it more effective for the people who are working, because I work absolutely specifically on what they're doing. And it also means, you know, if the next marketing session wasn't going to be till August, they can do that next week. I've got a couple of people who I'm working with monthly. I've got a couple of people who I'm working with more pretty much weekly, and then they'll go, look, I need a little bit of time to go off and develop it. So it's actually far more flexible and far more personalized. And aside from the fact I don't get to catch up with you in Sydney once a month and go to a coffee shop and you know, chat face to face, I miss that side of it. But it's working better. It was one of those areas I just went, there's something here is not quite right.
Yeah.
You know, if I've got two people in Adelaide, it's not worth me flying to Adelaide to go to two people. But I was going to say do them on Skype, but that doesn't sound. I can facilitate their requirements via Skype sessions. So, so it's working really well. I'm really happy how it's going. So,
excellent. Well, that's good to hear. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up for tonight.
All right.
Good to talk to you, and say good day to Lee for us. And we will catch up soon.
And goodbye to all you Shutters Inc. listeners, and thank you to those who took the time to say hello at the weekend. That was really greatly appreciated.
Excellent. All right, catch up with you. So moving on, post project management. Like I said, found this page on Facebook and thought, let's get Talia on board to have a bit of a chat about what post project management is all about. So Talia Baird, welcome to Shutters Inc.
Thank you.
So, as I explained in the setup, I saw that Chris had started being associated with post-project management, and I started wondering for myself, like, what's post-project management? And so I went to check out your page, and I really like the look of what you've developed with post-project management. Do you want to explain exactly what it was you had in mind when you set this up, Talia?
Sure. So it's supposed to be a page where people in the creative industry, so photography and makeup artistry, modelling, they can connect to each other and network, and we help by putting teams together so that they can go off and do their own photo shoot.
That's awesome. So what made you decide to do this?
Well, I worked with a similar page, however that page was for women only.
Oh, okay.
And I noticed they were doing a few things wrong. It wasn't being managed properly. So I thought that I could do it better, I guess.
Fair enough. And it seems to have taken off pretty quickly. I mean, you only started this, what, beginning of May?
Yes, it's been 3 weeks and we've gone over 750 likes.
That's awesome.
So it's amazing. It was definitely something that we didn't expect.
Yeah, right. And you've got pages set up for what? Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, where else?
Yes, Wollongong, the Hawkesbury region, Newcastle, Central Coast, Adelaide.
And Canberra?
Canberra, yes. You know it better than I do. Yes, so we've got them set up into albums. So it's divided by location, so it's easier to, you know, sort people with each project.
And it's, I guess the advantage of having done something like this is that I guess everyone going into the project at least has a visual idea up front of what you're aiming for. Would that be a fair comment?
Yes, because like what I've found is that sometimes when you're trying to get a team together, it's sort of hard to get ideas that everyone's got the same view and everyone knows what they're trying to achieve. So by providing the inspiration images, everyone's got a goal and something to base for work on.
Awesome. And so have many projects been completed so far?
Yes, we had our first one completed in just a week.
Cool.
And we've had about four done now, I think. So one in Melbourne and three in Sydney.
Excellent.
Very exciting. We've also got a videographer who's attending the shoot next month. So we'll have video on the page as well of one of our body painting shoots.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Very cool. I can't wait.
Yeah. So you are doing this entirely out of altruism? Like there's no money in it for you?
No, but we've got nine girls on the team. No one makes a cent from doing it. But it becomes addictive. You end up being on Facebook all day, every spare minute that you have on it, just so that you can interact with everyone on the page and see how the projects are going. And we get so many questions as well, and so many people want to speak to us about everything. So we are on there a lot, but I would not do it.
Awesome. Okay, well, Talia, I wish you all the best with it, and I hope it really goes well. Is there some grander plan down the track? Is there something you're hoping to achieve with it all?
We do have a few goals. We are trying to keep it a little bit secret at the moment. I'm not going to tell you everything.
Okay.
But we do have a website in the works. From that, we will be creating profiles on the website for everyone who completes a project with us, which we'll hopefully develop into further work. But I'll leave you with that. I won't tell you anything else.
Okay. Well, when that happens, you can come back and let us know.
Yes. You're the first person I tell. Don't worry.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for coming on and having a chat, because I think it's great, and I think it's a good opportunity to at least spread the word a little bit further and get some other photographers interested. I mean, Shutter Zinc has a worldwide audience, but it's probably of not much benefit to those outside of Australia. But for those people who live in Australia and who are in those markets where you've set up an inspiration page, then there's the opportunity to get more of these projects happening.
Definitely, and we're always going to be looking at expanding, so if anyone contacts us about opening up a new division, we're definitely open to it.
Cool. Excellent. All right, well, all the best with it.
Thanks, Bruce.
And I will obviously be in touch with you on Facebook, because I've got four or five of these projects under under planning at the moment. So. Sure.
Well, I look forward to seeing some work you produce.
Excellent. Thanks, Talia.
No worries.
Well, there you go. I mean, I just love what Talia has set up. There's, these inspiration images, which, Talia and the girls are sourcing from all over the net, and they're posting them up and they're putting on there, no copyright infringement is intended. These are just images to inspire a group of artists to get together, makeup, models, photographers, stylists, etc. And basically, people are just, liking the Pose Project Management page and then browsing the images in the inspiration album in their area, which for me is Newcastle and Central Coast. And, you see something that you like the look of, you just go, I'm a photographer, I'm interested. And, and when they've got an entire team together, then you guys all, you collaborate. Talia and her girls will set up a group on Facebook, and you then just you work it out between yourselves as to where you're going to shoot it, when you're going to shoot it, and it's a great idea. So I'm looking forward to the few shoots that I've got lined up over the next two or three weekends, and I'll let you know how I go with it. But so I'll put the link to Pose Project Management in the show notes for this episode. Failing that, you can just log into Facebook and search for Pose Project Management and you'll find them straight away. All right, that will do it for this week. Any questions, comments, feedback, where to find me, studio@audiotou.com. And until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutter Zinc, another audiotou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audiotou.com.